We started this series last week. It's the King has come. How many of you know he has already come? Amen. Right? We're not waiting for his first coming. Israel was waiting for his first coming at that time. And it had been 700 years since the prophet Isaiah made that declaration about who the Messiah was going to be. And they were waiting for him, and he came. Today, we're waiting for his second coming. Amen. How many of you know he is coming again? And a lot of people, you can imagine after 700 years, they're probably like, oh yeah, is he really coming? And he did come, but the words that were given to the prophet were really what he would be called. And we heard it in that last song. We heard it that he is going to be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Actually, I have it right here. And I want to encourage us all to say, can we read this together? For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. All four of those names. So last week, I got it highlighted. I didn't change my slide, but Wonderful Counselor, we talked about that. How many of you know God knew that you and I would need a wonderful counselor because we're all a mess at one point or another? Am I right? All of us have got issues. And I said this last week, if you don't think you have any issues, then your issue is deception and pride. Amen. Right? So we all have challenges. And so Wonderful, talking about he is the best. He knows exactly what we need. He knows how to get us from where we are to where we need to be. Amen. And he gives us that. And he's not like a counselor on earth. How if you go to counseling here, they can give you guidance and direction, but they can't give you strength on how to follow through with that. Isn't that true? So the mighty God, the aspect of him being a mighty God, says not only is this the direction you need to go, not only are these decisions you need to make, but I'm going to give you the strength and the wisdom to get there. Amen. He is all the way. So that was last week we talked about. Today we're going to be talking about Everlasting Father. And then on Tuesday night, I'm going to talk about Jesus as our Prince of Peace. Amen. So you don't want to miss that. So talking about the Messiah, and we know that's Jesus as the Everlasting Father. How many of you know that's a little bit of a paradox when we're thinking of the Godhead and the Trinity? Like what? A lot of times we don't refer to Jesus in that aspect, but here's the thing. Jesus is a father in the aspect that just as I'm a father, guess what? I'm also a son. And my boys are sons, but they're also father. And if you look later on in Isaiah, which is a very prophetic passage of the Messiah, Isaiah 53, it says it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer, talking about Jesus going to the cross. And though the Lord made his life a guilt offering, he will see his offsprings and prolong his days. Who's his offsprings?
Us.
Exactly. We are. We are the children of God. And because of what Christ did, we are his offsprings. And it says, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. So I'm not going to get too deep into the theology of the Trinity because that's not what this message is about. But I want you to understand that one of the titles of the Messiah is going to be Everlasting Father. And what does that mean for us? So we're going to be talking about fathers here today, but I want to have fun for a moment. Is that okay?
Yeah.
All right, they're having parties and stuff there. So how many of you like Christmas movies? Yeah. All right, anybody watched a few of them already?
Yeah.
So I'm going to give you guys a test here. I'm going to show you a movie slide with a father that's in there, and I want you to, I've actually got a little prize here. If you can name the name of the dad in this Christmas movie, not the actor's name, but the actual name of the character that they're playing, then I want to give you a, it's not big, it's only a $5 Starbucks, so you're going to have to kick in extra cash, so I don't think you can get anything from $5 there anymore, but anyway. So the first one, if you know it, like raise your hand as quick as you can, and I'm going to do my best to catch the eye, okay? What is this guy's name in this movie?
Clark Griswold.
Clark Griswold, all right. I saw your hand first. Come on up and get your almost full drink at Starbucks. Some of these are going to get harder, so If you know the name, this one's going to be easier, I think, for some. I'm not seeing anybody's hands. Did you say it, Richard? George Bailey is right. What movie was it? Oh, come on. This is my wife's favorite movie right here. So, all right. You got somebody hand that back to them back there. Oh, he's coming. JR. Oh, JR is. I'm going to give you one extra just for that. All right. This next one is going to be, anybody know? I had to look this one up. Okay, if you don't know that, what's the name of the movie? Jingle All the Way. All right. Whoever this strange girl lady is right here. Actually, that's my daughter, if you guys didn't know. Her and her husband from Washington. Hits jingle. So his name is actually Howard Langston. Like, who remembers that? So, all right, this one may be a challenge unless you've watched it recently. Anybody know his name?
Oh, my goodness.
What movie is it from? Somebody knows. Home Alone. We know Home Alone. Okay, let me give you a hint. His first name is Peter.
Oh, that's right.
I heard. Oh, you got it. Come on up here, Isabel. Good job. You must have watched Home Alone recently. As long as you're not actually left alone and your parents are off in Paris, right? I think that's where they went. Okay, this next one is a controversial Christmas movie. And people say, is that really a Christmas movie? What's his name? John McClane. All right. That was his name. Somebody in first service, they couldn't think of his name, and they said John McCain. And I'm like, well, I'll give it to you because that was close enough. So, all right, the last one, I think you're going to know the movie, but we'll see if you actually know the name.
Oh,
yeah, it's The Christmas Story. That's it. It's My Old Man. He never gave the name of his name. He never actually got the, and JR, come here. If you don't drink it, give it to somebody that does. So, all right. That was awesome that you got that. I didn't think anyone would get it. So, yeah, even there was a Christmas Story, too, when he was grown up, and he never gave the name. So we have no idea. He's the old man. Isn't that a term of endearment right there? So here's the thing, and I just wanted to talk about the whole idea of fathers. It can bring good memories. All right, it can bring good memories, just like some of these movies when it comes to father, but we understand not everybody has good memories of their father.
Yeah.
Isn't that true? I mean, you know, I think as a father, I'm very blessed. I'm grateful my daughter is here and my sons are here. Well, one son is sick, so that's another one that we're praying for, probably watching online. But listen, if you had a bad example of a father, how many of you know we do have a good father? And I also want to say, even if you have a good father, do you realize God's even better?
Yes.
He's even better than that. And we live in a generation that is known now as the fatherless generation. A lot of kids, I read these statistics that 1 in 3 children today are being raised without a biological father at home. And how many of you know? I mean, that's heartbreaking. The statistic that this one was kind of sad too. The average dad gives 35 seconds of undivided attention to their kids a day. How many of you know that's not a whole lot right there? So I just want to say, I believe that the issues that our society is facing today, you know, lack of ethics, lack of morals, lack of truth that's there, it's all connected to the lack of fatherhood in our homes that's going on today. So how many of you would agree fathers are needed in our world today? Absolutely. And I want to introduce, listen, if you've had a bad or negative opinion of a father, I want to introduce you today to a heavenly father that loves you so much. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Regardless of whatever you've encountered, I love what Romans says about fatherhood. So you have not received a spirit that makes you a fearful slave. Instead, you have received God's spirit when he did what? Adopted you as his own children. And now we call him Abba Father. Now, I want to correct it because some people, and I've heard people say this all the time, oh, Abba means daddy or papa. How many of you have heard that before? And it doesn't actually mean that. What it is it's just the Hebrew word for father. They didn't have another word for it. But the thing that makes it stand out and the reason that it's in there, Abba Father, is that when you say Abba, that is your father. Because there are a lot of father figures in our lives that people that you may look up to, and those are all great. But when it says Abba, the Hebrew word is saying, this is my dad, right? This is my father. Because a lot of times people, especially if you're adopted, you're like, oh, yeah, well, that's just my adopted dad. And that's not what it means at all. It means, no, once you get adopted by God, how many of you know he is your father? And that's why it's there. If you didn't have that, maybe you had a bad example. I want you to understand, he is your father. He is Abba Father. He is your father. Amen? And like I said, I know a lot of people have disconnect in that because of whatever their issues. But like I said, we have a God, we have a Father that will never leave us or forsake us. Amen? We have a God that will never let us down. Because every dad, including myself, we've let our kids down from time to time. Oh, yeah. It just happens, but God never does. He's always present, and we can we just give our Heavenly Father a round of praise this morning? Because he is worthy, amen? He is worthy. So I want to show you just three areas of what our everlasting Father is like. What does that mean? Because we read it, it's like, okay, God's my father. What does that actually play out? What does a father do in our life? Number one is that he is compassionate towards our concerns. Amen? How many of you know that means God cares? I know that he runs the universe, and that's a big job out there. God knows everything that's going on more than Santa does.
Oh, yeah.
Right? He knows when you are sleeping. No, he doesn't. Only God knows that, right? Only God knows that. God's the one that knows everything. And even in that, he is still aware of every struggle you go through. Every tragedy that you encounter. Every hard time that comes your way. God is aware of that. And not is he just aware. Guess what? He is compassionate to you. So I know some of you guys are going through some stuff right now. How many would you agree? God is aware of it right now. God knows. It's not escaping his thought. He knows. And listen, when kids are little, how many of you know kid issues are, they become big issues? Like right now, you know, the babies, our grandbabies that are there, their big issue is I need to be fed and I need my diaper changed. Like, oh man, I just got to get my diaper changed. And then there's other issues. We don't even know what it is. But as they get a little bit older, like 3 or 4, and you give them a balloon and that balloon pops, how many of you know that's the end of the world right there? My balloon, you know, it popped. And it's like, come on, kid, it's just latex and air, right? So, but I mean, that's a big issue for a kid, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right? Or little Johnny said, I'm not going to be your friend anymore. And the kids have a meltdown. And as adults, we're like, oh, come on, there's other kids, right? Get over it, right? Or my crayon broke, whatever it is. So anybody here would like to trade some of your issues for kid issues?
Yes.
Right? Like, okay, I'm just going to go buy about 20 balloons, and I'm going to pop every one of them for every problem I got. And it's like, get over that. But here's the thing. When we have a Heavenly Father, as a dad, think about this. If that was my kids, you know, and their balloon popped, and I'd be like, come on. That's not that big of a deal. Come on, you don't understand what I have to endure at work. You don't understand how much money it costs to feed you guys, right? Those are real issues. I'm dealing with life problems, and can you imagine as a dad to say, why are you crying over a pop balloon? Shut up and get over it, baby. Would that be very compassionate? Like, that would be kind of rude. No father in their right mind would say that to their child, right? They wouldn't say that to their child, regardless of whatever they are going through. When a child's going through something, it's a big deal to them. It's a big deal to them. And that becomes, as a parent, as a father, your most important thing. I need to help my child. And guess what? When your child's going through that, you're going to kiss the boo-boo.
Yes.
Right? You're going to do what you need to do. I mean, there's times, you know, our kids grew up and they're like, oh, I need a Band-Aid. And I'm like, well, it's not even bleeding. Right? It's just a scratch. But guess what? You get a Band-Aid. right? And you kiss the booboo. You do that because it is our job as parents, as fathers, moms, and dads, help them process through those things so that when they get older, they'll be able to process through the bigger things in life. Amen? If we didn't help them with those little things, then how will they get that? And I believe that's the same thing with our Heavenly Father. He's not like annoyed by us coming. Actually, I wrote it in your notes. God's never annoyed or overwhelmed by your issues. Right? God's not up there like, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? You're crying about that? Right? Is that all you got? That's your big problem right there? And listen, I know a lot of people over the years that say, you know what? I just didn't want to bother God with my problem because it just seemed too small, and I know other people got bigger problems. How many of you know that's a mindset people have because they don't want to bother anybody? But let me tell you, God can handle all of that. There's no problem that's too small or too insignificant. God has got time. He, you know, yes, he's running the whole world and universe, but he still has time for us. Amen? And then there's other reasons some people won't come to God because they think, well, this is too big of a situation. I know God can fix it. I know he can heal it, but I don't know if he's going to heal it, so I don't want... Or maybe you made the own mess, right? A lot of times we make our own mess and our own problems by our own choices, and then we're like, you know what, I'm not bothering God with this. This is my bed. I got to lie in it. This is my problem. I'm the one that did it. Let me tell you, God still wants to hear from you. God still cares about it. He's a good father that cares about the issues you and I are going through, whether it's things that were out of your control or sometimes the things you did yourself. Right? If you did it, guess what? God still cares. He's a good father that cares. I love what Psalms 103 says. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Isn't that good news? He has compassion. He has compassion on where your relationship. Listen, you are not an annoyance to God. Somebody may need to hear that today. You're not bothering him. He's not like up there in heaven and, you know, oh, you again? You again? What now? You know, I mean, sometimes as parents, come on, we may feel that way at times. We're not, what now? God is not like that. He always makes you a priority. It's not like you're waiting in line. That's not how God is. Like, you know, come to Santa Claus, they got to wait in line. You've always got first place with God. You're always at the front of the line with him. And he is like a father that's leaning in, like just waiting to hear from us. Amen? He's waiting to hear from us. He desires to hear. I like how Jesus said this in Matthew 6. He goes, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. Let me just stop right there because how many of you know, some of you guys need to hear that. Don't worry about it. God isn't. If God really cares, why am I worried? And listen, I think it hits all of us worry about whatever situation, but he's saying don't worry about it. Don't worry about what you're going to eat or drink. Don't worry about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more important than food and the body more important than those clothes? And look at verse 26. He says, look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And I love this last rhetorical question Jesus gives. Are you not much more valuable than they? I mean, as I look around this room, and I don't know who's watching online, I want to tell you, every one of us are more valuable than the birds of the air. And if God takes care of them, how many of you know he's going to take care of you? Amen? He may allow you to go walk through some stuff, but guess what? He's going to walk through it with you. He's going to be there with you if he'll allow you. And I guess what I'm trying to say, basically, if it is a problem for you, if you've got something, it's a problem, whether health, whether, you know, relationship issues, whether finance. Nobody's had finance issues here, right? No, we all have, right? If that is a problem for you, then I honestly believe it's a priority for God. As you come to him, he's like, that's not that big of an issue. Right? Listen, if it is for you, bring it to him because he cares. He welcomes you to bring whatever issue and whatever challenge you have. That's the kind of God that we serve. That's the kind of everlasting Father that we have, is one that is intently listening, caring for us, and ready to intervene to help us. Amen? So next thing, number two, our everlasting Father, he actually cares enough to confront us with our issues. Everybody say, ooh, right? How many of you don't like, anybody like being confronted with your issues? Yeah, no, I don't like it. It's not fun, but listen, that's an important role of a father. That's an important role as a parent. And listen, some of you guys here were raised at a time where people actually got spanked as children. All right, how many of you had that? And what did you end up on a therapy couch? Yeah, my daughter's shaking her head, yes. So it doesn't, you know, here's the thing. As long as you're not like in an abusive situation, it's not going to mentally or emotionally hurt them. As long as, like I said, you're not doing it in your anger. And let me just say, don't call CPS because, yes, we did spank all three of our kids. Some of them got more than others. So the harder the head, the more the spankings. And let me just say, it's too late to call CPS anyway because they're all in their 30s, but bummer now. So anyway, here's the thing. Some of you guys remember this phrase growing up, like when you got in trouble and your mom's there and your dad's at work, and she says, wait until, yeah, your father gets home. You guys remember that? Anybody have fear waiting for dad to come home? You're in there, and you're like, oh, no. You know, and you hear the door. You hear his car pull up. Fear is building. It's kind of like if you watch The Lion King, and they mention Mufasa, his name, and they're like, ooh, Mufasa, you know. And it's like, oh, no, here he comes. And then, you know, your dad comes into the room, and, you know, you're going to get spankings or whatever, and he does this phrase that maybe you've heard. This is going to hurt.
Be worse than it hurts you.
Yeah. Did anybody ever believe that? It's like, I mean, you want to say, okay, well, if that's the case, Dad, let me reason with you here. If that's the case, and you need to punish me, why don't you get lean over, and I'll paddle you. That way, you know, it'll hurt me more than it hurts you, right? Anybody ever? Yeah, I hope you didn't say that to your dad, because that wouldn't have worked. But let me just say, that never made sense, that phrase, until you actually become a parent.
Right.
Isn't that true? Because I honestly believe no loving parent wants to inflict pain or discipline on their children. It's not, you know, somebody with a warped mind maybe. I mean, as a parent, as a good parent, we want our kids to be happy. We want them to enjoy life. Nobody wants to inflict pain in that way. But one thing that I have learned about pain, how many of you know, it's going to come one way or the other. All right, it's going to come one way, either discipline now or life's consequences later. Does that make sense? Like, discipline now, it may hurt, but if you forego that, then they don't learn what discipline is. Later on in life, life choices are going to come, and they're going to bring a whole lot more pain than that temporary thing. And I believe there's a lot of adults now, they never learned discipline properly. Maybe they were disciplined out of anger, maybe out of abuse that happens, or maybe even neglect. How many of you know neglect is a form of abuse, right? And so now in life, as they become adults, they're experiencing the life choice consequences now because they didn't learn it. And let me just say, I'm thankful for discipline. And I believe that's the same way the Heavenly Father, God does not want to bring discipline to our lives. Think about the Old Testament, how many times he warned them, you know, repent, turn away, come back to me. And he went like centuries before he finally brought it. God doesn't want to do that. But God also understands that he doesn't want us to experience the consequences of an undisciplined life. Amen? He doesn't want us to learn. God loves us enough to bring discipline and correction that we need because he loves us as a good father. Amen? I know it's like, wow, we're talking about Christmas and discipline. What a wonderful message. I'm talking about a good heavenly father. He brings that. Look at what Hebrews says. He says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord does what? Disciplines those he loves. See, we have to have the right idea here. It says he punishes everyone that he accepts as a son. And then look at verse 7, endure hardship as discipline. Sometimes we go through hardship, sometimes of our own making, and it's like, okay, God, this is what I've learned to do years ago. God, I'm going through this. What are you trying to teach me now? Right? Because I can just whine like, ooh, that hurt, wah, you know, or I can say, wait a minute, God, this is difficult. This is challenging. If this is something you're wanting to teach me in this, I want to learn it, because I don't know about you. I don't want to go through it twice. All right, I don't want to go through it. So he says, God is treating you as his children when you endure that. For what child is not disciplined by their father? Which child is not disciplined? And listen, all children that are loved, they are. Look what it says in verse 8. If you are not disciplined, then you're an illegitimate child. If God never brings correction in your life, if he never brings discipline in your life, then it's like, oh man, you know what? What's going on here? So what do we do with our everlasting Father's discipline? We've got to embrace it and thank God for it. You know, I mean, we had the joke, thank you, you know, in the army, thank you, sir, can I have another? How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? That's not quite the same thing, but it's like when God has corrected me in my life, I may not have liked it at the moment, but afterwards I'm like, thank you, Lord, for showing me that. Thank you, Lord, for correcting me. Thank you, Lord, for showing in the area of my life where I was getting out of whack. And that's what we do. And I just gave a couple of examples of what that may look like. So if you're married and then you have an inappropriate thought about somebody other than your spouse, right? Now, that doesn't happen in our world today, does it? Here's the thing. You may feel the Holy Spirit say, hey, listen, you don't need to think that way. You need to change your thinking right away. What is God doing? He's rebuking, he's correcting a thought because he's trying to keep us away from that slippery slope of cheating on our spouse, having a divorce, and eventually a broken family. And so God brings that correction when our thoughts get a little haywire, amen? Aren't you thankful for that? What about if somebody hurts you? And I know that doesn't happen a lot, right? Somebody said something, somebody did something wrong to you. Now you're mad and you're angry, and all of a sudden you feel the voice of the Lord saying you need to forgive that person. All right, I don't know if you've ever had this argument with God, and like, God, I don't want to forgive that person. All right, you know what they did to me, and then God comes back, and guess what? I can't convince him otherwise. He's like, no, you need to forgive that person, and I don't want to forgive that person, but eventually, it's funny, you argue with God, you're going to lose, right? You're going to lose. So God is trying to intervene and say, listen, it's not that that person didn't do something wrong. It's not that they didn't treat you wrong, but what God's trying to do is keep bitterness from forming in our hearts. Because he knows if we don't forgive, if we hang on to it, then it's going to start. You know, the scripture talks about a root of bitterness that forms in our life and it begins to poison everything else. And so God is saying, listen, you need to forgive them. Oh, God, I don't know how. Listen, he's the mighty God that's going to show you how. Amen. He's going to give you the strength that you need to know. And I just want to kind of put that in there. Sometimes we forgive, but that doesn't automatically mean that the relationship is restored, right? There's got to be mutual forgiveness on both parts for relationships to come together. But guess what? You can walk free. Amen. You can walk without bitterness forming in your heart. Another example may be this, and I don't know, you know, election season's over with, but you ever felt like the Holy Spirit said you got an idea or you saw some meme on Facebook, you want to post it, and the Holy Spirit says, don't post that on social media. And you're like, but God, it's going to get so many laughs. Right? It's going to be so good. I usually just send those in private message to people instead of posting it on Facebook because I don't want to offend people, right? That's not my desire. And the reason God kind of checks me on that is because, I mean, there could be several reasons. I don't want to hinder relationships, but can I tell you today in our world, you go for a job interview in a couple of years, they have a way of checking your social media, and that may be a ding on you. All right, so I know that's a crazy thing, but God's watch. Here's the point that I'm getting at, and I put it in your notes this way. If we will embrace that pain of correction at that moment, you know, whatever it is, if we'll embrace it, I believe that we avoid future problems. Does that make sense? We avoid that. That's why when it comes to our everlasting Father, I need to embrace correction because I know God loves me. I know that God only wants the best for my life. And so here's the thing. He does what he constantly in life. He's trying to move us from where we are to where we need to be. And we'll never get there if we don't take the correction that he gives us. If we get stubborn, you know, bullheaded about something, oh, I'm just going to do it my way, then you're going to stay where you're at and you're never going to grow in your relationship with God. And I want to tell you, the more you grow, the more amazing God becomes, the more blessings that God pours in your life. And so listen, I want to grow. And so, Lord, if you need to correct me somewhere, then bring correction. And I may kick and moan about it, but listen, it's good for us. Amen. That's what kind of a heavenly Father we have. Now, the last one I want to cover, this may be a no-brainer. Some of you guys will say, duh, but I believe that there's somebody that needs to hear this today. And number three in your notes is that our everlasting Father is crazy in love with us. How many of you realize that? We hear that, oh, Jesus loves you, and but we have a good Father. He's madly in love with us as his children. He loves us that much. And let me just say, I love all of my kids, and Colleen and I, we do everything that we can to try to bless them to the best of our ability. But our Heavenly Father, like I said earlier, he loves them more than we do. He loves them more than we do. I mean, listen, I still remember, and I'm glad Rebecca's here. I told her she was going to be in my message, but I remember when she was born and she was so little. And having her, she would sleep on my pillow at times. And I remember many times sitting in the dark watching them sleep. How many of you did that with your kids? Right? You just kind of, I mean, especially when they hit like 4 and 5 years old and they've been a terror all day long. And then, you know, they're laying there asleep and you're like, oh, there's my wonderful child. There they are right there. And so there were times as they were growing up that either Colleen or I, we'd be in there and we'd check on them and they're just sleeping. And you kind of, anybody ever just kind of linger in there and just watch them a little bit? And I mean, we stopped doing that when they were teenagers and certainly when they're adults, because I mean, that just kind of gets creepy at one point, right? So we don't do that now, but you know, you guys know what I'm talking about. And it's just a parent that's madly in love with their children. And I believe that's the way our Heavenly Father is. And this morning as I was praying over this message, I've got that other verse. Can you pull that one up? It won't be online, but it's over here. Out of Zephaniah, I thought this was so good. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He takes great delight. How many of you realize God takes delight in you? Isn't that crazy? Some people are like, oh, God's mad at me. I remember getting an argument with somebody that made a big mistake. He's like, well, God's mad at me now. I'm like, oh, no, God takes delight in you. And it says, he will quiet you with his love, and he rejoices over you with singing. Isn't that beautiful? Have you ever thought that God sings over you? As a parent, if you've ever sang over your kids, I mean, especially when they're babies, you're singing to them, God sings over you. God sings over us because he loves us that much. 1 John 3:1 says this, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. And guess what? That's what we are. We are the children of God. God loved the great love. I mean, think about what God did for us. We were lost and we were in our sin. We were doing our own thing. And Jesus came and took my sin, took your sin, and paid for it on the cross. And guess what? The exchange is, I'll take your sin, but I'm going to give you my righteousness. How many of you know that's the best trade ever? Right? It's not our righteousness. I don't stand before God because of my good works, because of the good things I've done. It's only because of what he's done for me. Amen? And listen, at a time in my life when I wasn't interested in God, how many of you know he searched out for us? How many of you know he was looking for us when we were not looking for him? And I remember growing up, you know, God put people in my life. I can't tell you how many different friends invited me to, I don't know how many different churches. I probably went to a lot of different denominations. I didn't know any difference, right? And I went. But I believe it was God constantly planting seeds in my life. And I realized, you know, all of my years, the Heavenly Father's been calling out to me. Amen. Amen? Aren't you guys thankful for that? That's how good of a father is. He's like the prodigal son dad that was out on the hill waiting, looking. He wasn't inside the house like, oh, well, if he comes home, he comes home. Right? That's not how he was. He was out there looking and waiting. And I just want to remind you today, your earthly father may have rejected you. And I know that's the case for many people in this room today. Maybe your parents gave up on you. They're like, oh, I'm done with you. I can't do it anymore. And maybe you never heard these words, but I want to tell you, God is madly crazy in love with you. Amen. That's our Heavenly Father. He cares for you. He's passionate about you more than you can even imagine. I believe that we should embrace Him as that this Christmas season. Yes, let's enjoy the family, enjoy your gifts, enjoy eating way too much food and sugar. But don't forget, our Heavenly Father really loves us. Let's embrace Him. Here's the difference that I had in the difference between religion and relationship. Religion says this: I messed up and my dad's going to kill me. How many of you felt that one before? like, oh no, I'm in deep trouble. But here's what the gospel, what relationship with Him: I messed up, I need to call my dad. Amen? God, we should not fear God. We should draw near to God. Amen? That's what He says. And the relationship between Jesus and the Heavenly Father, in the New Testament, it's very unique, but there's only twice that you actually heard the Father speaking to the Son. And once was when Jesus was baptized. The other was on the Mount of Transfiguration. And I think what God was doing, He's identifying the relationship. And sometimes we're like, I'm not sure where I stand with God. I'm not, I've messed up. I've made some bad choices. I've done this. And it's like we feel like we're on the outskirts. But I love what God the Father said to the Son in Matthew 3:17. He says, "This is my Son whom I love, and with Him I am well pleased." Amen?
Amen.
I believe that God says that to us today. And you can replace it with daughter, if you're female, obviously. You are my daughter, whom I love, and I am well pleased. You are my son. That's the kind of God that we have. That's why He's going to be called not just Wonderful Counselor, not just Mighty God, but Everlasting Father. He's saying, listen, I'm here to love you. I'm here to guide you. I'm here to listen to you. I'm here to be with you no matter what you go through. What is that? Psalms 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. What does He say? Fear no evil. Why? Because He is with us. He is with us. Amen? And, I think when we think that we're just serving, I got to better do my duty. I better try to please God. I better try to make Him happy. A lot of people kind of work from that thing. Their life is a matter of trying to please God. But once you understand how much He already loves you, once you understand what the relation, we're not trying to work for God's pleasure. How many of you know we're working from the pleasure of God? Does that make sense? You're working from that God is already pleased with you, and He's already proud of you, and He's saying, listen, work from that relationship. It's a whole different thing. And so I'm just going to have, can I have everybody stand? Listen, my Christmas present to you guys this year is that you're getting out 15 minutes early. Don't forget Tuesday night. But listen, the song that we sang earlier, that chorus part, I thought was so good because it was the prophetic declaration. Can we just take a moment and do that? And then I'm going to pray afterwards. So,
everlasting Father.
Listen, if you're here today and you don't know him as your everlasting Father, maybe you're online watching, this Christmas, the only thing he wants is your heart. So I just want to give you an opportunity at this moment. If you want to make a fresh commitment or maybe a recommitment back to him, I'm not going to have you come up here, but just raise your hand. Just say, I want to make a fresh start with God. God hears us. God's leaning in. So, Lord, we just thank you. If you can repeat this prayer with me, thank you, Heavenly Father. I accept you and welcome you as my everlasting Father. Thank you for Jesus who covers my sin. Forgive me and help me to walk as a true son or daughter of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, listen, God bless you guys.